Hi, and welcome to this audio edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. On this program, we discuss polygamy and Mormon fundamentalism from a biblical Christian perspective. We talk about the history of polygamy, its modern-day fruit, share stories from people who have escaped polygamy, and talk about current events relating to polygamy. You can learn more about the video edition of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. And now, here's Doris.
We want to welcome you to our show tonight, Polygamy, What Love Is This? I'm your host, Doris Hansen. And as you can probably tell by the title of our show, we do talk about polygamy here. We focus on polygamy, and we want to talk about the many aspects of it, both early Mormon polygamy and current day polygamy. We want you to know that polygamy really is not part of God's salvation plan, as many of them claim that it is. For our viewers tonight who are polygamists, we suggest that you follow God's directions and get in the Bible and read it and ask God to show you His perfect truth and be a truth seeker instead of a follow the leader. And for our Christian viewers, we would ask that you would please pray for those who are trapped in polygamy. God loves the women and children that are trapped in the polygamy lifestyle, and He hears the prayers of His people. You know, it's a awful oppressive power that keeps people inside these groups when they do want to leave, and only the power of God Almighty can pull them out. And He hears our prayers, and so we ask that you would pray for them. And for our LDS viewers, you need to know that today's polygamy groups are mirrors of what Joseph Smith and Brigham Young and the early Mormon polygamist leaders did in they practicing their religion. We also suggest that you check out the source, that you check out the root, that you check out the icon of your religion and find out the truth about him. This is a live telephone call-in program, and we do invite your phone calls. Our phone number is 801-973-TV20, 801-973-8820. We'd like to hear from you tonight. And if you would rather email us your concerns or your opinions of the show, you can do so at tv@aboutpolygamy.com. All of our previous programs can be watched on our website, whatloveisthis.tv. If you've missed any of our programs, or if you're a new viewer tonight, you can go to whatloveisthis.tv and watch all of our previous shows there on streaming video. I'd like to remind all of those who are interested in our monthly discussion group, Life After Polygamy. We meet once a month in the Salt Lake City area. We're going to be meeting again next Monday evening at 6:30. This is a good group for those who feel like that you would be benefited by talking with others who have been through what you've been through. And we invite you to come, give us a call or email me, and I will give you the details of the meeting. And I would like to invite all of our viewers to go to our website, shieldandrefuge.org. On that website, you can find information about polygamy if you're not familiar with it. But for those in polygamy, if you'd like to know how we can help you or what we do to help polygamists, you can go to that website and we find out the information. If you're in a polygamy group and you feel like that you're being forced into doing something you don't want to do, perhaps you have questions about their doctrine or their practices, or perhaps you're being abused and you don't know who to tell, please go onto our website, see what we can do to help you. We have a contact page, and I'd like you to write down our toll-free number. It's 877-425-9993, and we will help you. Just give us a call. Everything will be held in the strictest of confidence. And once again, I would like to remark that this culture teaches and preaches man's free agency, while at the same time it systematically denies the basic human rights, the basic rights of all Americans. And they do withhold the so-called free agency that they brag is part and parcel of their faith. As someone has so aptly said, the polygamy groups are third world countries within America, and that's sad. I just thought I would mention this tonight. I have been made aware of an urgent need of someone who is leaving an abusive polygamous situation. this person needs employment. And if any of our viewers knows of a job, or if perhaps you have a business and you have a job opening, and you would like to offer that, or at least an interview to this person, would you give me a call or email me at tv@aboutpolygamy.com? I will hold everything that we say in the strictest of confidence, and I would just appreciate it if someone would give this person a chance to make a new life for themselves. A few months ago, or a few weeks ago, I and my guest tonight watched the LDS film entitled Joseph Smith, Prophet of the Restoration. It is perpetually being played at the Legacy Theater in the Joseph Smith Memorial Building in downtown Salt Lake City. Well, we went down there to watch this movie because we were more than curious about its accuracy. For instance, we wondered if the polygamy of Joseph Smith and the other early Mormon patriarchs were honestly portrayed in the film. We also wondered if the marriage of Emma and Joseph Smith was presented and was generally historically correct. So we watched the movie and we found a great deal of history that had been thoroughly whitewashed. So tonight we're going to do a review of the entire movie, not just the polygamy side of it. Joseph Smith is relative to polygamy, so anything relative to Joseph Smith fits the criteria of our program. At the end of that film, on the big screen, we read these words: "He lived and died for the cause of truth." If indeed the cause of truth was the purpose of the film's production and of Joseph Smith's life, we're sure that the producers will be pleased that we are here to point out some of the huge misconceptions and the faulty historical data that was portrayed in this movie. I'd like to introduce our guest, Tracy Ferguson, and together we will review this film. Tracy was raised as a Christian in a Christian home. She's familiar with biblical and Christian teachings, and she also wants to be sure that truth is not compromised. And so, Tracy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Doris.
And I'm sure you're going to add a lot to our film review here.
I hope so.
Would you like to take a minute and tell our guests or our viewers a little bit about yourself?
Yes. Like you said, I was raised here in Salt Lake in a Christian home, and went to church my whole life, paid my tithing. I was a good person and did all the things I was supposed to do to go to heaven, supposedly, and what little did I know. I married a man named Quentin who grew up as in the LDS church. He started to come to church with me to make me happy, which was nice, but early on in our marriage we had some really difficult times and went through some things that we just couldn't handle ourselves, so the answer was, you know, we needed some help. So we decided to go to our pastor, and Quentin called the pastor, and through God's grace was saved through that whole that issue. And because he got saved, it made me confront my own salvation. And seeing him soak up the Bible and turn away from his sin and, you know, all of that, I could see my own sin, and it was ugly. And I realized at that point, by God's grace also, that I was saved, that I wasn't saved, that I needed to repent and turn away from my sin and give my life to Christ. So by God's grace, we were both saved this year. And
so you lived all these years thinking you were a Christian, but you really weren't.
That is correct, yes. 35 years worth.
Isn't that interesting?
So, yes. So, we're blessed. And mm-hmm. The reason why I wanted to come here tonight is, you know, to talk about the truth. And, you know, I love my LDS family and all my LDS friends. And we just want to make sure that they have the truth of salvation mm-hmm. as we see it.
So. We have to be on the side of truth. That's true. So, thank you for that. Thank you for sharing that personal information with us. It maybe will touch someone's heart as they're going to church and thinking they're okay, but they really haven't made that commitment to Christ and that forgiveness. Well, let's get into the events of the movie and discuss this film that we went to see together, Joseph Smith, Prophet of the Restoration. The first part of the list, and we're not going to go chronologically through the movie as each part showed on the screen. We're going to follow it pretty closely that way, but we're taking mostly the subject matter, and we're just going to focus in on that as the movie portrayed. So we're going to talk first of all about the persecution.
Yeah, I thought the movie was well done. Didn't you think it was, you know, there was good acting, there was, you know, it played out well, and,
beautiful
you know, it was
scenery,
very professionally
good
done.
Sound.
So, yeah, it was good. The persecution was confusing to me. You know, I couldn't understand why they drug him out of bed and tarred and feathered him, and I couldn't understand why. You know, where was the reasoning behind it? It makes you think that there's some kind of religious persecution going on, but you don't know.
But there's no specific reason for each thing that was happening that they showed.
Exactly. And from what I've read, he wasn't at home, and it was another guy was with him. That was Sidney Rigdon was with him when they got tarred and feathered, and it was a completely...
Totally different story.
Totally different story.
Yeah. I think one of my questions would be, who were these mobs? And was all the violence just one-sided? Was there any reason for the violence? Was there something
Where was the
that,
conflict?
Yeah. What happened to cause it to happen? Was it... It couldn't have been just... a belief. I mean, you wouldn't think that it would be. And did you notice in the film too that whoever was against the Mormons was portrayed as being ugly and stupid, but the Mormons were pretty and serene and good looking and
yeah, it did. They were, you know, dirty and old and, you know, just scary men that were portrayed. But I read somewhere that it was that there was a doctor involved in this tarred and feathered him, and he was supposed to do a surgical procedure on Joseph Smith at that point because he had messed around with some
Nancy
one of the
Miranda
girls.
Johnson,
right?
Yeah,
right.
One of those girls.
But I guess he had backed down about the surgery and decided not to do the surgery.
Well, when it came right down to it, in truth, now the movie doesn't show any of this. It showed Emma and the baby and Joseph Smith in bed just having a nice, sweet sleep, and then all of a sudden these evil, wicked men come and pull him out and tar and feather him, when really it was Sidney Rigdon and Joseph Smith that they were sleeping, and the mob come with the doctor with the scalpel because they were going to emasculate Joseph Smith for messing around with Nancy Johnson. And who later ended up marrying Joseph Smith. He was married also to Orson Hyde, and Joseph Smith married her while she was married to Orson Hyde while he was on a mission. So the doctor decided no, he didn't want to go through the surgery once he got right down to it. But that's just kind of verification that the story, the historical story, is different than what they showed on the movie.
Yeah, it seemed like they just left it completely out. And then when he's jailed at Liberty, you didn't see any cases, nobody bringing charges, no judge, no jury,
no reason why they
were going to jail. And it felt like they spent a lot of time in jail. And
I think
but you still
did.
Don't know why.
Yeah,
you still
I think
don't
they
see
did
a...
about 3 or 4 months in the Liberty Jail. When actually, part of the reason that they were in Liberty Jail was that there were some war activities going on, and the Mormons had totally mutilated a man and left him for dead. But they mutilated his face, and he didn't die. He miraculously lived and pressed charges. That's part of it. It's not all of it.
Well, and it doesn't show in the movie either the militia. There was like a big Mormon militia.
And the Danites.
Of 3,000 men or something that it doesn't talk about at all. It seems like they're the small group of people that are just, you know, surrounded by all these evil men.
Yeah, they didn't show any reason at all behind the violence, and there was plenty of reason. In the beginning of the movie, we see Joseph Smith, a young boy, and he's asking all these spiritual questions.
Right.
And what was your opinion when he talks to the preacher and tells the preacher he's having revelations, and the preacher gives him some advice?
Well, it was interesting because he's saying he's so concerned about his salvation, and he's he was taught at an early age to trust in God, yet you never see the family going to church or you know, having the pastor over or anything, you don't see him searching in the Bible, looking for answers, even though he's saying he's, you know, very concerned about his own salvation. So that was concerning. What was I did find interesting was the pastor does tell him there are no more prophets. Mm-hmm. You know, the prophets were until John, which is actually in the Bible.
Right.
You know, Luke 16 states that the prophets were until John.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that was pretty interesting.
And he ignored
it was correct.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, he ignored good biblical advice.
And he doesn't search in the Bible himself.
He doesn't. We don't see that at all. In fact, about the only time we see them referring to the Bible is when they talk about James 1, I think it's 1:5.
If you mentioned look for wisdom.
Several times.
Right.
Yeah. If you look for wisdom, if you ask God for wisdom, he'll give it liberally without upbraiding you. And that's mentioned several times in the film, as though they're trying to tell us that because they're asking God for wisdom, they must be the result of wisdom, so they're from God. But
they ignore everything else.
Everything else they ignored.
Yeah.
And he asked his brother, what did he need to do to get saved? Why didn't his brother say, well, I don't know, you could read Acts chapter 16, that tells you there, or John 6:29, that tells you there. Why didn't he say pick up the Bible and read it, or let's go do a Bible study, or let's talk to somebody
pastor.
Who knows about the Bible.
Right.
But the Bible is not an important thing. It's not preeminent from the beginning of Mormonism even till now. But you just didn't see that in the film?
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all.
Well, in his quest for spiritual truths, he has a vision. And they depict that very well in the movie, don't you think?
Yeah. But it was really confusing to me because as I look for information about the vision, you know, in the movie, he talks about God and Jesus coming to him. And God says, this is my son, listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, he doesn't write any of this stuff down. He doesn't, you know, proclaim, you know, loudly, I've just seen God. It doesn't seem like, at least it's not portrayed that way in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next time you hear about it, he's writing it down like 12 years later or something. He writes it down. But in the first record, he writes down that it was only Jesus is mm-hmm. mentioned. And then in the Book of Commandments is published and there's no mention of the vision. So, and then in 1934 or 1834 to 36, they're doing a full history of the rise of the church, yet it's messengers.
Mm.
It's not God and Jesus. Now, to me, if God and Jesus comes to you, it's pretty clear it's God and Jesus, not a couple of angels.
Mm-hmm.
I think that distinction is, you know, I don't understand why there wasn't such a clear message in the historical facts.
In history, yes. I find a couple of things I find interesting in this vision. The first one is if you watch Joseph Smith when this vision begins, he's only 14, he's just a kid, you know, and he's looking up into the sky so serenely watching the Father and the Son come down to him in this vision. And then he just sits there and watches them with this serene look on his face. But
right.
if you read these kinds of experiences out of biblical folks who saw a divine manifestation, which you can't see Father and Son together anyway, they're on their faces. They're
right.
saying, well, Isaiah goes, woe is me, I'm a sinful man, my lips are sinful lips,
right.
and they are on their faces, on the ground as low as they can
repenting.
Go because yeah. they know the sinfulness of themselves compared to the holiness of God.
Right.
But not Joseph, there's no humility there. He's just watching, almost like he deserves this.
Yeah, and even with my experience, when my husband got saved, and I'm seeing, I'm recognizing my own sin, even just with God in him.
Yeah.
So I can't even imagine having God right in front of me. I would just, you know,
you would feel away. Woe is me.
Yeah, I should be
yeah.
ashes.
Yeah.
You know,
uh-huh.
and the other part of that is it's very clear in the Bible that God and Jesus are not separate. They wouldn't be separate, you know. Jesus
well,
says, John 10:30, I am the Father.
Jesus is the manifestation of God.
Yeah.
No one can see God in all of his glory and brilliance. The Bible tells us that. And since Jesus Christ is God, there's only one God, and Jesus is the one who declares him. It's impossible for Joseph Smith to see both the Father and the Son. It's totally
impossible.
Impossible.
Right.
And so right there
it says it all over New and Old Testament, Isaiah 43:10, you know, I am the only, I'm the only God. There is no one before, no one after. So, you know, it doesn't make any sense. The vision to me, it didn't make any sense at all.
It doesn't. And then when you mention that there's so many other different renditions of the of this experience, he was confused too, I think. And then, of course, we're talking about a restored gospel. A restoration of a gospel that didn't need restoration. Actually, if the gospel needed restoration, we have a God who is a liar. He's untrustworthy. He is a deceiver. Not one person on this planet is saved or ever saved. We're all damned. Because if God is a liar, we can't trust him. If we needed the restored gospel, we cannot trust God. We're all doomed.
Right.
Because he promised that he would keep his church and his gospel and his word pure through all generations. And what does the word all mean?
Yeah,
it doesn't mean all but 1830 years.
Right.
It means all generations.
And well, he says in the vision too, join no church, and because the gospel will be restored. Yet Jesus tells us in the Bible, Matt 16:18, that Jesus built the church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So
exactly.
Why would we need restoration?
Right.
You know, so like you said, either Jesus is right or Joseph is right.
Mm-hmm.
You
That's
know, and true. I think I'd choose the one who rose again.
Oh yeah, I would choose Jesus Christ as well. And then, of course, he was told not to join the other churches, and he joined the Methodist Church.
Well, he tried to.
In 1828.
Right, didn't he? They didn't want him. He had to repent because of all of his magical practices.
Well, he joined the probationary class, and then from there it deteriorated, but still, he tried to, even at that. And
yeah, so he was disobedient to Jesus' instruction.
Why, if God told him not to?
Right.
Okay, let's get into marriage and polygamy, according to the movie.
Yeah, that was interesting. Emma was sweet and kind, and, you know, their relationship seemed so full, and, you know, there was a lot of Emma in the movie, it felt like.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, there was.
And obviously, at no point do you see any other marriages or to any other women, the 16-year-old Fanny that he had the affair with or what have you, and then married later, there's no mention of her at all. No mention of any of the girls moving into the house and being helpers and stuff like that.
Right.
You didn't see any of that in the movie.
Polygamy actually was conspicuous by its absence, I think, in the film. Smith and Emma's romance in the film is sweet, it's trustworthy, it's spiritual, it's romantic at the beginning, but they weren't honest in the depiction even of the beginning of the romance. When they got married, they eloped. In reality, they eloped, and then after they got married, they were afraid to go home to her folks, so they went home to his folks and lived with them.
Right.
And
Emma's father hated Joseph Smith.
Emma's father
Smith,
didn't
right.
like Joseph Smith.
Yeah. He said that the Book of Mormon was a bunch of hooey, and and he just didn't think that he had any credibility whatsoever, and didn't like that he was
a glass looker, and treasure hunter.
Right. Yeah. And the magical business, he didn't like that about Joseph. So.
And none of this is in the film.
No.
And yet it's all in the historical the LDS historical documents,
right.
by the way. So
right.
they had access to it. And then Joseph Smith actually promised Emma's father that he would stop this
right.
nonsense and get a real job. And then 3 years later, he's at Hill Cumorah digging up golden plates and reading them with a seer stone in his hat.
Wasn't
so
he arrested for that too? Didn't he get arrested for?
Yeah, in 1826. Yeah, he did. Okay. And then, of course, it wasn't too long after that he received this everlasting covenant, well, a few years, but still, he wrote it down several years after he claimed he got it.
Right.
The Doctrine and Covenants 132, the polygamy.
And it says in that, I pulled that up and read that section 132 where it says you have to obey, otherwise you're damned.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to practice polygamy, otherwise you're damned.
Mm-hmm.
And if polygamy was such an important piece of salvation, why isn't it in the movie?
Why isn't it in the movie? That's right. Exactly. And another part, too, is Hiram. They have Hiram there as Joseph's
lot, right?
helper and as an encourager to Joseph. And he was a polygamist as well. In fact, Hiram took Emma actually was not as sweet and serene as this shows, because she was jealous of Joseph Smith's polygamy, and she ranted and raved against him a lot over this polygamy. She was hurting, and you would be,
rightly
of course.
So.
And of course, she didn't know the half of it, and so Joseph or Hiram told Joseph, "Well, I will take this revelation. Write it down, and I'll take it to Emma, and maybe she'll accept it." Joseph said, "You don't know her like I do."
Right.
But so he gave it a try anyway, and she took that. He read it to her, and she took it, and she put it in the fireplace and burned it. It's too bad it didn't stay there like that.
No kidding. No
we would all be better off. But the way they have shown Emma and Joseph in this film is totally it's a love story, fictional love story. The way they showed it, it's not reality.
Yeah, it's interesting too. You know, here's Joseph Smith at 36 and 37 years old, and he's marrying 16 and 17 and 14-year-old girls. At least that's what some of the documents have shown. That, you know, there was 7 of the girls, I think, were under the age of 18,
mm-hmm.
and 11 of them were married to other men.
Married to other men at
so,
the same time.
And
yeah.
It doesn't show any of that.
It shows no polygamy at all, and doesn't even hint at polygamy.
No, not whatsoever. None of the relationships whatsoever. Another thing on marriage, that topic, Joseph Smith also says that marriage is for eternity, for all time and eternity.
Yeah.
But Jesus says that you're not married in heaven,
right.
That we're like angels in
mm-hmm.
heaven. So, one or the other's right, obviously, that you
mm-hmm.
both, they both
yeah.
can't be right about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they both can't be right. Well, let's hear from our viewers. Those of you who have seen this, maybe you would like to call in and weigh in on some of this. And our telephone number is 801-973-TV20, 801-973-8820. Our telephone lines are open. Give us a call and let us hear your viewpoint on some of the points in this movie. One more point on the Emma and Joseph Smith relationship. Brigham Young ranted an evil diatribe at Emma, and he said that she was definitely going to go. He damned her. You know, he said she was in apostasy,
yeah.
and threatened her with hell and damnation because she tried to kill Joseph Smith twice, he claims. Tried
poisoning.
To poison him.
Yeah, but they both
twice.
Got sick, I understand.
So, well, you know, who... whatever it is, Emma was, I mean, they were human, but in this movie they don't humanize them much at all.
Yeah, I didn't notice any conflict between Brigham Young and Hiram and
mm-hmm.
Emma or
mm-hmm.
any of them.
None.
Yeah.
Absolutely none. All right, let's get to the part in the movie where it talks about the gold plates, the translation of them, and the Book of Mormon.
Well, the plates, it didn't seem like was a huge part of the movie, even though that's kind of how I expected it to be. I expected going in that would be the prime part of the movie, but it seemed like it was very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't see him digging for the plates, you don't see him really hunting for them so much, and then you certainly don't see him translating them as historical data shows us.
Right.
You know, with the seer stone and his face in the hat, you don't see any of that.
Mm-mm.
He's really just writing it down as if he's receiving
they
this
information. They just have a real quick scene where he's
right.
sitting at the table and the plates are here and he's got a pen and pencil here, and that's basically all we see of the translation.
Right. None of the seer stone business, none of that is shown in the film whatsoever, which I thought was interesting because they even still have those.
I think it is. And I recently read a review from an apologist on this, and they said, they're always trying to make excuses for Smith and the way he put his face in the hat and read the translation. And this person said that we kind of wonder at that it might seem odd to us in this culture that he would do something like that, but in the culture of those days, it wouldn't have been odd at all for him to have the hat and the seer stone, stick his head in the hat to do the translation. And this, I don't know where this person is coming from, but there were no footnotes, there are no historical documents, there are no references at all why he said that. I have never read anything of that period of time where people poked their heads in the hat and read
no.
off a stone to bring forth some documentation.
No,
something.
And
just,
why would he
it's
need?
It's just an excuse.
Why would he need the stone and the hat and to do all this if he's getting this revelation from God?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that's the case, what's necessary for
mm-hmm.
that? And another thing I found interesting about that was he had to have total darkness. And God is light, So to have total darkness to me seems
completely
contrary to what you would think the experience
That's
would be
like.
That's a good
point. That's a good point. I want to make another comment about the Book of Mormon, but we have a call first from Brian from Salt Lake City on line one, so we'll take the call. Hello, Brian.
Hi, how are you, Doris?
I'm just fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks. Fellow Christian. And just a quick question for you. As I'm listening to you talk about these things, it makes me wonder if, because I love what you're doing, but I think sometimes the credibility is somewhat suspect where you don't have an LDS person on there getting their perspective on what you're talking about.
But
did you ever consider maybe putting an LDS person on there to give their perspective on what you're talking about?
Well, we're talking about the LDS perspective of the movie. We got an hour of that in the movie. No.
Right. And as you're breaking it down, you're giving your perspective on it, but there's no LDS rebuttal to what you're saying.
No, there isn't, because this isn't a show to give the LDS their rebuttal. They've got plenty of time for that, and it's all around us all the time. And we're just quoting from historical documents as we talk about this film, and we're quoting from Mormon historical doctrines, documents. So that's the rebuttal.
I think it's a lot easier when you're giving your perspective to not have any dissenters that could possibly show some of the things that you guys are missing out on.
Well, we do a lot of reading and studying, and I'm sure they do. Well, I'm not sure they do too. But this show really is not to bring both sides so that they can come in and proselytize on our TV show. We're just not going to do that.
Yeah. Well, why is it that you're so focused on the LDS religion as opposed to your own?
Did you say you were a Christian?
I am.
Then I think you should understand that answer if you're a Christian.
Jesus. Then I was wondering if maybe you could shed some light on it.
Well, Jesus told us to go out and to make disciples of people all over the world, and we don't do that with our own people. We do that with people who don't believe the Bible and Christianity the way it's taught. So that's what we're doing.
Do you think that Christ would approve of approaching a religion in a way that is demeaning and negative as opposed to trying to have a respectful dialogue?
Oh, geez. You want to read some of the things that Jesus said in the Bible?
I've read the Bible.
Okay, well,
and that's why I say, not being an LDS person, having a lot of LDS contacts, I was listening to your show, a lot of things I agree with, but I just think that it's being very disrespectful to a religion which has actually done a lot of good.
Well, the thing about it is, this show isn't about religion. This show is about the truth and about how Joseph Smith said that in order to be saved, you had to practice polygamy. We're trying to tell people that's not the case. And 2 Corinthians...
But I think, in fairness to the Mormon Church, they would say polygamy is no longer part of our church. It's no longer practiced today. So I get what you're saying. Polygamy is really, it's a terrible thing. But the Mormons don't practice it anymore.
Well,
so I think
it's
that
Brian,
it would be fair to Christians,
Brian,
right?
Brian, if polygamy...
I want to make sure that we're representing the LDS church, which I happen to have respect for. I'm not an LDS person, but I happen to have a lot of respect for them. I want to make sure that we're being fair in the way that we're treating them.
Brian, if polygamy is a hideous thing now, it was a hideous thing then. And they practiced a hideous thing when they practiced it 200 years ago. It isn't any better now than it was
then. But don't you think that the LDS church came to that conclusion?
Brian, I'm going
to
hang up in just about 2 seconds, but I'm going to have the last say here. They only gave up polygamy because the United States government told them they had to, or they couldn't become a state. Now, I have two other calls waiting, and we're going to go to them. Thank you for your call. Good night. Okay, we have Jim from Sandy. This is Jake from Ogden. Sorry. Jake?
Yeah.
Yes, you're on the air. Is your TV turned down?
What's that?
Is your TV turned down?
Yeah.
Okay. What's your question? We need to hurry along. We got calls waiting.
Hi. I just bothered about the tearing down of the Mormons. For me, I like to watch different television shows where you have the uplift of talking about Christ and things like that. And I was just wondering
We're not tearing down the Mormons, Jake.
What's that?
We're not tearing down the Mormons. We're bringing out historical data. That's all we're doing. And if you want to talk about tearing down a religion, the Mormons tear down religions every day because they claim they're their only true church. All the other churches on the planet are corrupt. All of our doctrines are from the devil. That's what they teach. That's what they believe. They don't believe the Bible that we believe in it. They believe in a different Jesus and a different God. We have the right to come up and tell the truth, and that's what we're doing. Would you like to have anything to say about
that? Well, 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. If we thought that we didn't need to bother the Mormons or the polygamists or anything with salvation, if we thought they were Christians, we wouldn't bother them. We wouldn't say anything about any of it. The point is, we're trying to bring the truth out so that they may be saved. We're instructed to do so in the Bible.
That's right. We're ambassadors for Christ. That's a good point. I like that. Anyway, I hope that answers your questions.
So if Christ was here, he'd be on your TV show saying that the Mormons are rotten people. And
No, we don't call the Mormons rotten people. We've never done that. They just believe in a doctrine that's not biblical, and so we bring it out.
And our churches, they teach and talk crap on everybody else.
Well, the Mormons do teach that. You can find it in their documents. They do teach that all other religions are corrupt and from the devil. That's what they teach.
Joseph Smith's first vision.
That his first vision said that.
Join no other churches.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, I got a call coming in.
I just sense a lot of hostility.
No, not hostility. Yeah. We're just here. We're contending for the faith, if I can say that, from Jude 3. And you can look that up in the Bible. In fact, read the entire book of Jude. I think that you'll find it very interesting.
Well, I've read quite a bit of the Bible.
Why don't you read the book of Jude tonight when we hang up? It'll only take you a few minutes.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, thank you.
I've read a lot of the Bible and a lot of the things, you know, that you guys say, I guess I don't really agree with.
Well, you know, Jesus took a whip and he made a whip and he went into the temple courts and he whipped the Pharisees and he whipped the animals free and he turned over the coins and he really lit into those people there. He's got a side where he defends the truth too, and that's what we're doing. So thank you. I have another call coming in. Okay, we have line 3, Jim from Sandy. Hello, Jim.
Yes.
Yes, you're on the air.
Well, hi.
Hello.
I just heard a couple of people say some interesting things. Like, Jesus would never say such terrible things to people. I remember him calling people vipers.
Can you speak up? I can hardly hear you.
But I mainly called about section 101. Of 1836 DNC, where it is written in verse 4 that since the church had been besieged with adultery and polygamy, they were determined to say that one man should have one wife,
yeah,
and one woman, one husband, and unless one of them died, where they were both permitted to marry again.
Mm-hmm.
It's the law of the church in 1836.
Right.
I think it was 1834 and 1836, Joseph Smith took two wives, two other than Emma.
Right.
It's rather strange that the rule of the church was for everybody else except for Joseph Smith.
That's a good point.
That's not the way God works. That's confusion.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
They have a changing God, don't they? Changing God, changing doctrine.
Oh yeah. You said one more thing I'd like to comment on, and then I'm going to let you go and let you get some other people in here. But
okay.
When Brigham Young, who was it that gave up the polygamy? Wilford Woodruff. When Wilford Woodruff Wilford Woodruff was approached by the federal government and told that if they didn't give up polygamy, they would lose their property, anything over $50,000.
Yes.
They would have lost temples.
That's right.
So what they did was they sold out their religion, mm-hmm, their belief. They sold that out so they could keep property. They sold it out for money. It was just a Judas kind of thing.
It was an economic thing. That's right. And so what happened to the teaching that polygamy was required for salvation at that point? You know, that's where
they gave up their salvation so they could keep their property.
Yeah, well, They just change it, and that's why all the polygamy groups started, is because they believed what Joseph Smith said and Brigham Young, that polygamy was required for salvation. And now the Mormons are all upset because all these polygamy groups are all over the place doing what the original prophet said they needed to do in order to get saved.
Well, don't let anybody tell you that you're not doing good work here because you're aiming at the Mormons.
Well, thank you very much.
We live in this culture. I don't know about you, but these people are my neighbors.
They're
my friends.
They're everybody's neighbors.
They're my workmates, people I work with.
Yeah,
they are
family.
My family.
Yep.
I love these people. I don't want to see them end up in the lake of fire.
Amen. That's why we're here.
I can't stand that idea that they're going to end up.
That is why we're here.
I get emotional when I get talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of online witnessing to LDS people on different sites, and I have to stay up on what they do and what they teach.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, the 101st section and the 132nd section, which was in the 1847 DNC together, I don't know how they did that. God is not the God of confusion.
That's true.
And yet Mormonism is confusion.
It is, and we do thank you very much for your call. We have another call coming in, so I'm going
thank
to
you.
Take
bye-bye.
It. And I do thank you for your call. Good night. Okay. We have Frank from Kearns. Hello, Frank.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Doris.
Hello. You're on the air.
Okay, thank you. I just want to have a question because I've been kind of watching you, and this is actually the first full time I've actually watched your actual show, and I was very impressed right in the beginning with some of the things you were talking about, especially when you were talking about an individual that needed some help looking for employment.
Okay.
I think that's fantastic.
Okay.
And I think it's fantastic of what it's about, but I'm kind of concerned.
About what?
Well, the name of the show, and I'm kind of concerned what it's really about.
Well, since this is the first time you've watched a show all the way through, perhaps it would be a little bit confusing, but I did make the statement that we were going to review the film, and although some of the movie was not about polygamy, we were going to review the entire movie because Joseph Smith is relative to polygamy, and anything relative to polygamy fits within the criteria of our program. Joseph Smith was the prophet of the early Mormons, and he's the prophet of the polygamy groups, of the Mormon fundamentalists. They follow him. And if we can provoke them to get in and start reading and discovering their own history, it might be conducive to getting some of them to say, this is not from God, and leave. And that's what we want them to do.
Well, the thing that I'm kind of concerned about is with the Mormons today, they don't practice polygamy. And I know you made the comment that it was ruled against them, that they should stop it, and otherwise they couldn't be able to become a state and all of that. But they don't practice it today.
Right.
And if it was something that they were allowed to, don't you think they would go back to it?
I'm not sure if they would. I really don't know. There's a lot of controversy whether they would or not if polygamy was made legal. But that isn't the point. Right now it's not legal. Right now they do not advocate polygamy, but they do practice spiritual polygamy. They still believe in it. They still have it in their books. The Mormon fundamentalists are practicing what their leaders taught from the beginning.
And that's where I'm concerned about is what you say the Mormon fundamentalists.
Yes, the polygamists.
Because they aren't Mormons.
Oh, yes, they are. They are more Mormon than the Mormons are.
They're actually two different religions.
No, they're not. They're the same religion.
Baptist and a Catholic are both the same.
You know, I'd like for you to tune in next week. A few weeks ago, we had a gentleman on, and we were doing the similarities, the commonalities of the Mormons and the Mormon polygamous groups. We weren't able to finish through our list, so he's going to be on next week, and hopefully we'll be able to finish. Watch next week as you see the common doctrines that the Mormons and the Mormon fundamentalists share. And it'll amaze you.
But yeah. Wouldn't that be a little more conducive to if it's really about helping people out, kind of like the site
it's
searching
really
for
about,
freedom.
It's really about truth.
It's about truth, but isn't it about really truly helping the people that are stuck in
if
polygamy and
truth
stuck
will set
in the
you
abuse?
Free, Frank, truth will set you free. It's about truth. That's what this show's about.
It's about truth, and wouldn't it be talking about the Mormon fundamentalists that are kind of going on right now?
We
kinda
do.
Like,
we talk about them all the time.
Yourself with living down at the mine and everything that you've gone through, that you've experienced some pretty serious things.
We're not going to get into all of that tonight, and I think I know where you're coming from now. We do have other calls coming in, and the last thing I want to do is argue with you on the public telephone or television show, so we won't do that. If you want to email me, tv@aboutpolygamy.com, I would love to hear from you. And so
I appreciate it. I'm not trying to argue. I would like to hear what's really truly going on today and how to protect those people.
Okay. Email me, tv@aboutpolygamy.com, and we can talk about it. I have other calls coming in. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Good night. Okay, we have an off-the-air anonymous call here. From Park City, wants to encourage listeners to read church history and other non-LDS commentaries to make a comparative study. That's a good point. However, read LDS. Read the history of the LDS Church. That's where we get all of our information.
Go to the Bible.
History of the church and read the Bible.
Go to the Bible.
And do the comparison. You'll find out that where we're coming from, too. Okay. Gary from Draper. I hope he's not argumentative. Hello, Gary from Draper.
Hi.
You're on the air.
You made a statement last week, and you repeated it again this week, that the Mormons worship a different Jesus than the biblical Jesus.
Yes, I'm only quoting Jordan B. Hinckley.
Well, I'd like you to quote the Bible, if you could. Which Bible verses do you think describe this biblical Jesus that the Mormons don't worship?
Maybe you should have asked Gordon B. Hinckley that. We believe in the Jesus
is
the Bible.
Saying to me that, as far as you know, Mormons do worship Jesus as he's described in the Bible?
The Mormons do not.
Then you don't know what the Bible describes as Jesus.
Jesus Christ is God Almighty. He is the second person of the Trinity. He's God the Son. He is the one who came and died on the cross for our sins so that we could be saved by grace through faith and through him alone. He is not the Jesus of the Mormon Church. Gordon B. Hinckley said so, and we will go with that.
April 2002,
well, okay,
he said.
But all I can tell you is, extent that Bible verses support what you just said, and frankly, I think the "so we can be saved by grace alone" and some of these things are a bit thin, Mormons do accept that.
But Gordon B. Hinckley said in April 2002
was that it's impossible for God and Jesus to appear at the same time.
They don't believe in
God and the biblical Jesus appeared at the same time to Stephen. I wonder how you got that impression.
What were you going to say? Go ahead.
Gordon B. Hinckley stated in the conference in April of 2002, you can look it up, that the Mormons have taken on some criticism because they don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible.
No, we don't believe necessarily
in the prophets of this dispensation. That's what he said.
But the Jesus of the creeds is not the Jesus of the Bible. And the Jesus of the Bible appeared along at the right hand of the God of the Bible in a vision to Stephen. And you said tonight that that couldn't happen.
It couldn't happen. That Stephen didn't say he saw God.
He certainly did.
He didn't say he saw God. He said he saw Jesus at the right hand.
Hand of what?
The right hand of God.
Oh, he saw him at the right hand of God.
Don't.
This is a right in Acts.
Okay, we're not going to have a yelling caller on the show. Sorry. Michael from Ogden, line 2. Hello, Michael.
Hey. Hello. Wow, that guy was off the hook, huh?
Well, we've had a few of those lately.
Yeah, I tell you.
Well, I'm here to tell you right now, to anybody who wants to call in, we will talk, we will discuss, but I won't take yelling. If people's going to yell at me, they can.
No, I agree with you, because that's argumentation, trying to instigate things. But what I would say is that the concept that they believe in a God being an exalted man rather than the God of the Bible.
That's true.
Yeah, he said, there's no other God besides me, no, not in the heavens, not in the earth, nowhere.
Uh-huh.
I'm the Alpha and the Omega. And that's what Christ said, the beginning and the end. But Well, I wanted to call up. So, you know, it's ridiculous for him to. Have you ever heard the comparison of the Trinity to water, H2O?
Yes, I have. I've heard him compared to the egg and the Trinity and a pie and several different things.
Like H2O, you know, it's the solid, the vapor, and the liquid.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all H2O.
Right.
But they're in three forms. So, you know, I guess the best thing I can say is I get so frustrated with my friends that are Mormon, LDS, that they absolutely won't investigate. And I even asked a friend of mine today, I gave him a DVD to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, have you watched it? This was 3 days ago. And he said, no. And I said, are you scared? Kind of joking with him. And he laughed and said, no. But I said, well, you need to watch it because it's directly from, you know, the church history. But what I wanted to say is the one of the claims that the LDS church makes, is that they, you know, we should judge them by their fruits. Okay. You can't just, you know, that's taken completely out of concept, because the Dalai Lama, there are a lot of godless philosophers. Hitler himself was a vegetarian.
What's the point you want to make?
My point is that, you know, they always say that, well, we're the true church because not only Joseph Smith, you know, had all these different first visions, but, well, look at our church and our high moral standards and so on and so forth. And I'm saying that there are a lot of individuals that don't even believe in God, philosophers that had those same morals. So you can't base it on that alone.
Yeah, we don't get to heaven by having high moral standards. We get to heaven by having a Jesus who died for us on the cross.
I agree, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But that's their claim.
They don't understand that.
And the Bible says to test all things, to test, to make sure that you're... that it's correct. First Thessalonians says to test all things.
Yeah.
And they just won't check it out. You know, when you try to ask them to check out the Bible, they say, well, the Bible is so contradictory. It's just, I hate to say it, but really just a lot of gullible people.
Well, they do. And because they're afraid to, they are afraid to check things out. I think most of them are. They've been told not to. They've been to follow the leader blindly, and that's what they do. We have another call coming. Michael, I thank you for calling in
and
for not yelling at us.
You know, they banned them from even watching Channel 20, you know that?
Yeah.
They asked them not to.
Yeah, okay.
Can you believe that?
Yeah,
we believe
heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're bet.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for your guests there as well.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we have Melissa from Southeast Idaho. Hello, Melissa. Melissa?
Hi. I had a comment from last week that didn't get on the air about fruits as well. As far as you'll know them by their fruits, and if you really honestly take a look at and even forget about the past and go into the here and now with the teen pregnancy rates in the Mormon areas like Utah, teen suicide rates being elevated, the number of people per capita on antidepressant medications.
Yeah.
In 2007 per capita, Utah had more bankruptcy than any of the other states.
More
we could go on to pornography and on and on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just wrong teaching leads to wrong living. And I also want to kind of jump in about the identity of Jesus, too. Just a couple of points, and maybe someday you can make us a list. But the LDS Jesus was born in Jerusalem, where the Bible Jesus was born in Bethlehem.
Uh-huh.
The Bible Jesus was born of virgin birth, where the LDS Jesus was not. And I think you could probably go on and on with that list about the identity being different for quite some time, huh?
Yeah, we could. In fact, we're planning a show on that in the future. So that's a good point that you're making. Very good point.
Melissa is talking about Matthew 7:15, where it says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits." And you can see Joseph Smith with polygamy, with the magic, you know, with him apparently being martyred, when actually it was a gunfight.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually killed two men in that gunfight.
Yeah,
so
shot three and killed two.
Those are the fruits.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
it's on and on throughout the Bible. You could go all the way from the Old Testament to the New, where Second Peter, these men will exploit you with stories that they've made up, with the Babel and the confusion and the ziggurat to climb up to heaven. And I, again, these people, it just makes me cry. And I would... like to see some wheels start turning in their heads.
I would too, and, Melissa. Thank you.
I would ask you, don't take mine or anyone else's mm-hmm. word for it, but please don't take the church's word for it either. Please just check it out.
Exactly.
No, but thanks, you guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. You're right on. Good night. Okay, we have Kathy from Malad, Idaho. Hello, Kathy. Hello, Kathy. We've got just just about a minute, so can you make it quick?
Yes. I was just going to talk. I don't understand. In the scriptures.
Did you turn your TV down? Hello?
There's a scripture that says that we are supposed to love one another as he has loved us.
Yes.
I don't see how having this show is doing anything of the sort.
Well, we love enough people enough to tell them the truth. That's what we're doing. That's
but
what Jesus did.
But you're not. I mean,
we're not telling the truth.
What
have we said that wasn't true, Kathy?
Must believe.
Kathy, what have we said that wasn't true?
Well, I could go on and on and on and on and on.
Name one thing we said that wasn't true. One thing.
You linked the Mormon church with the FLDS church.
I did what?
You linked the FLDS church with the Mormon church?
They are linked. They both have the same prophet, Joseph Smith and Brigham Young. They are linked. They both believe that polygamy was necessary for salvation. The Mormons taught that from the very beginning.
They both believe Joseph Smith was a prophet and had all these prophecies.
You need to read the literature a little bit better before you start going and trying to preach their gospel because you don't know their gospel.
Oh, we do.
Yeah, we do.
I was born and raised in a polygamy group.
Fair of how you, I mean, you don't see everybody on there, you know, bashing other religions.
We do this every week. The Mormon church tells every other church that they're wrong. I really need to close up the show now, Kathy, but thank you for calling.
You don't tell them that they're wrong. They tell them they don't have all of their doctrine that they need to have.
I know what they say. Thank you for calling. Okay, it looks like that we didn't get through
through the prophecies.
We didn't get to some of the good stuff.
Yeah.
But maybe we can do that another time. But we do thank our viewers for viewing and our callers for calling. And Tracy, thank you for coming.
Sure thing.
And sharing. And I'd just like to close by saying that I am thoroughly convinced that Satan has a particular hatred for women. I think he's really out to destroy them in particular. And you can just look at the religions that single women out for abusive and unequal treatment of them. All polygamous societies hold women in low contempt. I read a saying the other day that said if polygamy were truly a holy law, God would have given it to women to administer, not to men. And you know what? That's true. It's men who make the rules, not the women in the polygamy cultures, and it's men who benefit mostly from polygamy. It isn't the women who do that. Joseph Smith showed low contempt for women every time he took another wife, and he took 34 of them, and then told them if they obeyed him, they would be exalted, and if they didn't, they'd be damned. I'm certainly glad that wasn't God whispering this in Joseph Smith's ear. Tonight, I would love to have the ears of all the women in polygamy. If you feel like that you're being trapped, either mentally or physically, I would love to know how to get you and talk to you and help you to understand this isn't God's way for you. God doesn't want you to do that. He doesn't like polygamy. It wasn't his plan to start with. And I would love to have you call, if you can, 877-425-9993. We do appreciate you watching the show tonight, and we do hope that you'll join us again next week on Polygamy. What Love Is This? Good night.
This has been the audio podcast edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? This program is a production of A Shield and Refuge Ministry and Main Street Church of Brigham City. You can view current and past video episodes as well as download audio episodes of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance in leaving a polygamous situation, please contact us. We are here to help. All of our contact information can be found at shieldandrefuge.org or call us at 877-425-9993. If you have any questions or comments about this or any of our other programs, we'd love to hear from you. Write us at email at whatloveisthis.tv. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again.